Good afternoon and welcome to South Dakota Perspective on the Dakota Radio Group. I'm Jody Heemstra here on KGFX, joined today by Governor Kristi Noem. Governor, good afternoon. Thanks for making some time to chat with me today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jody. Thank you for asking me to be on your show.
Well, first, I guess a major topic for South Dakotans the last few months has been weather, bomb cyclones and melting snow and rainfalls. Let's talk about the latest that we know about as far as flooding across the state, the Missouri River, the Big Sioux, the James. What are you hearing at this point?
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. So we still have several areas that we're watching very closely. One of them is the Missouri River, and we're coordinating with the Corps of Engineers to get all the information that we can get minute by minute. And honestly, there's still some snowpack coming off in Montana and from the some of the mountain watershed areas that come into the Missouri River. So we're staying closely dialed into what they're doing and impacting what kind of water will flow through South Dakota and then head downstream. And then we also need to recognize that these storms that we've had this year have blown out a lot of the levee system below Omaha. So those states downriver asking us to kind of thread it out if we can. So we're thankful that there hasn't been significant rainfall in the last week or two and that we are able to move some of this water through in a safe manner and then still monitor what possible impact snowpack could have. But, you know, beyond that, Jody, we've obviously got other areas that still have elevated water levels. The Big Sioux is still elevated a bit. James River is still a concern. We've got a lot of communities that are trying to recover and do repairs, but lakes that still have no wake zones and homes that are still underwater around many of those lakes. Lake Andes was hard hit. Lake Ponset was hard hit in Hamlin County. So, you know, this isn't over as far as what we're dealing with moisture, but we're in a better situation today than we were a couple weeks ago.
The disaster request, federal disaster declaration request, has been approved. Certain counties for some private infrastructure, a whole bunch of counties for some public infrastructure. What's the next step then? What's happening kind of behind the scenes as far as that and getting a tally of damage and funding and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I was very glad to see a quick approval process on this disaster request. And it was a lengthy time period where we were compiling the numbers that we needed to file the emergency request. And we did get that approval going forward. And we got public assistance as well as individual assistance in many areas of the state. So this disaster encompassed 58 counties, three different tribal reservations. It was the biggest a disaster request made in state history. So it was very widespread. You talked about the bomb cyclone that really started the whole thing, where we had several feet of snow in the western half of the state and throughout the central part, and then inches of rainfall on frozen ground, and it just kept going on and on and on. So this was by no means a small event. It was the biggest damage request that we've had in South Dakota history, and it's great news that now we have FEMA on the ground. They are here in South Dakota. They're setting up and working with the state on disaster recovery centers. And so they will be located in the state to coordinate with individuals and with our communities on getting that reimbursement back out so that we can start doing that type of recovery. So there may be up to 400 different FEMA individuals on staff in the state helping coordinate this process. So it's going to be pretty involved and lengthy, but they're being aggressive about getting the help out to those who really do need it.
As you've mentioned a couple times right there, it is a process and it does take some time, so we're going to need to be patient.
Yeah, you know, they're setting up these disaster recovery centers already today. Sioux Falls, Brookings, Yankton, Pier, Pine Ridge, there's people in all those communities already. They're working with the local counties and cities, but also individuals that maybe had damage to their homes that were in counties that qualified. You know, they'll be available. You can stop in, find out what kind of information that you need to get that resources flowing in so that you can start repairs and get back into your home and life can go on. But also, you know, the Small Business Administration is going to be working with us. They've got some assets and some tools that we can utilize as a state, and they'll be coordinating with FEMA as well. So many of this is the state communicating and being the liaison to make sure that these individuals are connected with the folks who really do need the help.
Well, speaking of weather and outdoors, hunting, a favorite outdoor activity for you and many South Dakotans out there, you recently announced that in 2020 you'll be relocating the governor's pheasant hunt from Pierre to the Sioux Falls area, an announcement that has really shaken up the Pierre and Fort Pierre communities. Some of your thoughts on what you're doing and why you think a change of location might spruce up the event.
Sure. Well, Pierre has done an outstanding job hosting this hunt for years. I'm so grateful for their leadership, and we're already planning more events and more opportunities in this community, bringing people to town. Just recently, we have brought over 500 students to the city of Pierre to enjoy and recognize them for their state championship awards and recognition that they've gotten, but also invite their families to spend the night, spend some time in the community. And we've got many more ideas for the city of Pierre. But the main reason for moving the hunt in 2020 and trying it in Sioux Falls is because of economic development. The focus of the hunt has always been on getting business leaders to come to South Dakota to see our business environment and then also participate in our hunting culture. And we believe we can almost double this event with the resources that are in Sioux Falls, and that we can include more businesses and the public. We're going to incorporate it into a industry fair, vendor fair, and give South Dakota businesses the opportunity to interact with the public and market their businesses while having a public concert that thousands of people will be able to come to and enjoy, and turn it into a weekend that will give many more people the opportunity to experience not just the hunt, but also bring more businesses and CEOs into the state to see what we have to offer, and then allow the public to participate as well, which I think is a unique opportunity we have. What's so special about our state is the people, and to allow the public to interact with those individuals that we're recruiting to our state, I think will be a key to getting them here.
The 2019 Governor's Pheasant Hunt is still going to be in Pierre. 2020, you've mentioned giving it a rename and expanding and going to Sioux Falls. What about 2021 and beyond? Thoughts on locations, moving around the state, staying in Sioux Falls, or we got to take this one at a time?
You know, we haven't made any commitments beyond 2020. The 2019 hunt will be here in Pierre, and we've got some ideas for that event as well. The 2020 will be obviously in Sioux Falls. Beyond that, we just haven't made any commitments. We want to focus on making it an accessible showcase for all of our hunting traditions, for our business culture, and we'll keep working on these two events coming up. But beyond that, we just haven't committed to a community or to a format for how that'll go forward.
Well, another topic of conversation quite a bit here in the Pierre, Fort Pierre area was recently revealed that potentially building a fence around the governor's mansion, kind of sparking some curiosity from folks. Just wondering where that, you know, idea came from. Is it a security issue?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Department of Public Safety was doing some research on, you know, many other governor's mansions in the country have fences around them. I think they wanted to do due diligence and see, you know, what that looked like, what the cost would be. But there's no plans to build a fence. It wasn't anything that I requested, but the agency certainly wanted to make sure they were doing their work and doing an assessment of security needs and then giving us the information to see how to move forward. But there's no plans right now to be building a fence anytime soon.
Well, Governor Kristi Noem, again, joining me on the Dakota Radio Group, KGFX, South Dakota Perspective Program. I'm News and Farm Director Jody Heemstra. Broadband internet, that has been one of your main focuses of conversations in a variety of addresses, especially, you know, right from the get-go when you took office in January. Some exciting things happening. The Connect South Dakota to Connect Dakota grants have gone out, and rural Hughes County is going to benefit immensely from this. Talk a little bit about those grants and what your vision is for hoping what they do.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. In South Dakota, we had thousands of people that still didn't have internet access. And in many areas, it was poor and wasn't good enough to support businesses, to help kids get the education that they needed in their homes. And it was something we identified that was really hindering our ability to recruit businesses to our state or to get our kids the tools that they needed to be successful. So I was very grateful that the legislature supported my budget request to have a state-run program to build out broadband across the state. One of those recipients of these grants is Venture Communications, which does serve Hughes County. And Hughes County, I think, recently has gotten a lot of notification on what that means for the community. And it's going to be wonderful. The amount of businesses and homes that will have internet access for the first time, many of those that will have much better quality and high speeds of internet access that will allow us to recruit businesses to this area and give us new tools that we really need. I think what's key about this is that these are private-public partnerships, so these companies had to match the dollars. So in many areas, this is challenging those companies to invest with us into putting in infrastructure to help serve the communities. And then what it also did was by starting the state program, we qualified now for federal dollars. So while that $5 million of seed money has now been partnered with private money and federal money, we could turn that $5 million into up to $25 million worth of investment in South Dakota just by making sure that we have the state program going forward. So I'm excited about it because we have had so many stories across the state of kids that can't go home and do their homework. They're sitting in their cars outside the school to get it done before they go home. Businesses that could not go to some of our smallest communities because they didn't have internet access. Others that turned away new expansion opportunities because the quality of speeds wasn't good enough. So this is a big deal for South Dakota and our growth model. And we all know that quality of life is very important for folks when they move into an area, and getting this kind of internet access will help them make sure that they're able to live and recruit businesses and do well and go after their careers in the future.
We've got some really big rural spaces in South Dakota. Are those kind of the areas that we're struggling to get into?
You know, some are rural. You know, like Timber Lake is a town that still had dial-up speeds. So they had some businesses that just could not come into that community because the internet wasn't good enough quality for them to do business. They will be getting better internet access now. But honestly, I have people that are just 2 miles outside of Watertown that don't have any internet services at all. Now, Watertown's not a rural area of the state, but they're just 2 miles outside city limits and don't have any services. So they will need to be addressed as well. We've got some folks that a small town that's just about an hour and a half from Pierre here that lost their newspaper several years ago because they couldn't upload their newspaper publication through an internet access portal to get it printed to the printer. So, you know, a lot of times these aren't the stories that make the headlines about businesses that are hindered or can't move into an area because of poor internet that now I'm hoping do make the paper, because there's success stories in small communities that get to keep some of their businesses or grow them because of this investment that's being made. But I would say that, you know, sometimes we think it's, you know, rural areas or areas in the hills where topography plays a role, but there's many places in this state where it's basically a company that did not invest in putting infrastructure out, and now they will be able to do that and get people service that are even pretty close to some pretty populated areas.
Funding, obviously, a major part of needing to arrive to help these companies expand and buy the equipment, get into these places. Is there anything, you know, the average South Dakota resident can do or should be doing, or you'd encourage them to do to help with the broadband internet expansion idea?
I would say reach out to your internet provider. If you have an internet provider that maybe your service is poor or low quality, let them know that you that it is hindering your ability to do business or to, you know, complete your education, whatever it is. Let them know that there are issues so that they're aware that there are service issues that they could be investing in. I would say if you're getting an investment in your community because of one of these grants that they're partnering with your company, you know, if your services do change and it's gotten much better, you know, thank them for that investment, because that company is partnering with the state and with federal dollars to fix that type of service model. So it's a wonderful thing to see. And I would say throughout the state, you know, some areas it is a service low population issue, and some other areas it's a company issue. And so these companies do need to hear from their customers if they're not getting the kind of service out that truly does give them, you know, quality of delivery. So, you know, making sure that they're well aware of your concerns is helpful in getting them involved in this program. And then thank your legislators, because they voted for it. They recognize that this is what South Dakota needs to grow. And, you know, I appreciate that kind of support, because that's what makes this possible.
Are these Connect South Dakota grants, is this a one-time set of funding here this year to get the ball rolling? Or is this something that could potentially be an annual opportunity?
We made the request on a one-time basis because we wanted the program to roll out and be able to show some results. And I believe from the results that we've been able to see, we have hundreds of businesses now that will have internet that didn't have it before. We have thousands and thousands of people and households that will have internet that didn't have it before. So I believe the results and the partnership between the federal government and these private businesses will give us momentum to continue it on into the future.
Again, Governor Kristi Noem joining me on South Dakota Perspective here on the Dakota Radio Group. Well, you grew up a farm girl. Agriculture is still a very important part of your life. And speaking of agriculture, the Governor's Ag Summit is coming up in July in Sioux Falls. And in particular, you'll be moderating the Next Generation of Agriculture panel. Tell me a little bit about the panel and why that's of key interest for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. You know, some of the brightest things that we have going on in the state is our young people. And these are young people who are involved in agriculture, which is our number one industry. So I think everybody knows I'm a farmer and a rancher, and a lot of times we have our older generation that is sharing the wisdom with our younger generation. This is an opportunity for all of us to sit back and to really hear from younger folks involved in agriculture, input that we might need, experiences, you know, what kind of gaps they saw in policy, and just really listen to them, or maybe how they're aggressively taking agriculture to the next level of innovation or technology. So to be a part of that panel and be able to moderate that discussion, I think, is going to be really fun for me. I think a lot of times our best ideas in South Dakota don't come from people in suits. It often comes from people that are out doing the work day after day, and they are learning lessons while they're doing that and confronting challenges, and that's something that if we all take down and learn from them, we can maybe build on their success to make sure that all of South Dakota is moving forward.
If someone would like to attend, June 28th is the registration deadline. That would be this coming Friday. SDAgSummit.com. Go there. You can see the whole agenda and the speakers and get registered right there. Another part of that event's for you, your first year as governor, your first South Dakota Governor's Ag Ambassador has been named, and that's Paul Casper. Talk a little bit about Paul.
Well, I first met Paul when he came to, Bryant, South Dakota, I think back in 1995 or so, and was talking about building this very first ever soybean processing plant in the state of South Dakota. And I remember me and my brothers went and listened to him, and the vision that he had for South Dakota agriculture was, we can grow our crops here better than anybody else in the world. Why not process them and add some value to them before they leave the borders of South Dakota? And I have followed him and his vision and his work since then. So for decades, he has been pushing agriculture to be innovative and to provide food and fiber for the rest of the world. And I just am a big believer in people like Paul being recognized once in a while for all that hard work. You know, day in and day out, he wasn't just an active farmer and rancher himself. He was out there helping us talk about ag policy. He was out there working on behalf of other farmers and ranchers, and he was also out there pushing us to pursue new ideas and new investments that has really brought South Dakota to the next level of success. So I think he's the perfect ag ambassador to recognize just because of his work has stretched for decades, and he didn't just want to go out and be successful himself. He went out and helped every single South Dakota farmer and rancher have more opportunities too.
Again, SDAgSummit.com. If someone would like to see the full agenda or get registered, you can do that right there on that website. And speaking of our state's farmers and landowners, Habitat, your Second Century Habitat Initiative, there's some funding, some creativity going on there to encourage, you know, the best use of our lands out there, which may increase habitat and help the hunting aspects of South Dakota. Where are we at with the Second Century Habitat Initiative?
Yeah, I'm excited about this program because it's the first time South Dakota has had a working lands program to prioritize habitat throughout the state. And it really is innovative in how we're going about it. And you know, we've had bird numbers going down. We've had less acres into habitat for our wildlife. We've had less hunters out purchasing licenses and participating in our hunting culture. Less young people are outside enjoying the outdoors. And I recognized right away, when I was talking about my vision for the state of South Dakota, that we needed to turn that around, that it's a big part of our economic plan for the future, but it's also a big part of our culture that we're so proud of, is that we're an outdoors state that loves raising our kids on the land, and we like participating in agriculture, but also hunting and fishing. So this habitat program is giving producers an opportunity to put some land into habitat in a short-term program, seed it down to grass, give them a cost share on it and a small rental payment to make it cash flow and actually work, where they could put marginal land into habitat for our wildlife. And there will be thousands of acres that will be planted this year that will start benefiting our wildlife right away, that I want to continue to build on into the future. And so it'll be something where a lot of times we talk about, people, landowners need to have grass, but a lot of times they're running the business too, and they've got to cash flow these acres. This program for the first time will allow them an opportunity to have a real option for planning into their business some habitat acres that will not only help them pay their bills, but also help South Dakota grow our birds and wildlife, and make sure that our young folks still have an opportunity to be outside enjoying the outdoors, enjoying our hunting culture.
South Dakota's first dude. What's he up to? What's his role? What are some of his activities going on so far?
He's super excited about small towns in South Dakota. He wants to promote our small towns and the special assets and people and businesses that they have. And so people will start seeing a lot more of that across the state.
Neat.
What he can do and he wants to keep kids active and busy. And so he'll be doing that in some unique ways too. So I hate to steal his thunder, but if anybody who knows Brian Nome knows that he loves anything historic, anything that has to do with the past, but also how we can help some of our small towns still thrive and embrace a lot of the history that South Dakota has that's so special.
Well, I look forward to seeing what he has in mind and being able to chat with him and have conversations and interviews with Brian as well about what he's got coming.
Well, and he's a lot of fun. So people always, when they meet him, they say, "Oh my gosh, he's the fun one in the couple." And I'm like, "Yes, he is. The more they get to know Brian, the more they're going to love him, because he loves South Dakota, and he's so excited to get to see and meet everybody across the state.
Instead of the fun one in the couple, maybe we'll just say that you're the shy one.
There we go. Let's do that. He's the extrovert. I'm the introvert. Let's do that.
Sounds great. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem here on the Dakota Radio Group's South Dakota Perspective here on KGFX. Thank you so much once again for taking some time to chat with me today, Governor. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jody. Have a wonderful day.
You too.